By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine. By the grace of Allah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to another morning of Rise and Shine, another morning with our program, my dear viewers, our morning show. Now, Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, each and every single day we begin by listening to the tilawat of the Quran. Let's listen to the beautiful verses of the Quran. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
میں اللہ تعالیٰ کی پناہ میں آتا ہوں شیطان مردود سے
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا
وآتوا النساء صدقاتهن نحلة
اور عورتوں کو ان کے مہر خوشی سے دو
فَإِن طِبْنَ لَكُمْ عَنْ شَيْءٍ مِّنْهُ نَفْسًا فَكُلُوهُ هَنِيئًا مَرِيئًا
پھر اگر وہ اپنے دل کی خوشی سے مہر میں سے تمہیں کچھ دے دیں تو اسے کھاؤ رچتا پچتا یعنی خوشگوار اور مزے سے
وَلَا تُؤْتُوا السُّفَهَاءَ أَمْوَالَكُمُ الَّتِي جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا وَارْزُقُوهُمْ فِيهَا وَاكْسُوهُمْ وَقُولُوا لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا
اور بے عقلوں کو ان کے مال نہ دو جو تمہارے پاس ہیں جن کو اللہ نے تمہاری بسر اوقات کیا ہے اور انہیں اس میں سے کھلاؤ اور پہناؤ اور ان سے اچھی بات کہو
وَابْتَلُوا الْيَتَامَى حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغُوا النِّكَاحَ
اور یتیموں کو آزماتے رہو یہاں تک کہ جب وہ نکاح کے قابل ہوں
فَإِنْ آنَسْتُمْ مِنْهُمْ رُشْدًا فَادْفَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ أَمْوَالَهُمْ
تو اگر تم ان کی سمجھ ٹھیک دیکھو تو ان کے مال انہیں سپرد کر دو
وَلَا تَأْكُلُوهَا إِسْرَافًا وَبِدَارًا أَن يَكْبَرُوا
اور انہیں نہ کھاؤ حد سے بڑھ کر اور اس جلدی میں کہ کہیں بڑے نہ ہو جائیں
وَمَن كَانَ غَنِيًّا فَلْيَسْتَعْفِفْ وَمَن كَانَ فَقِيرًا فَلْيَأْكُلْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ
اور جسے حاجت نہ ہو وہ بچتا رہے اور جو حاجت مند ہو وہ بقدر مناسب کھائے
فَإِذَا دَفَعْتُمْ إِلَيْهِمْ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فَأَشْهِدُوا عَلَيْهِمْ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ حَسِيبًا
پھر جب تم ان کے مال انہیں سپرد کرو تو ان پر گواہ کر لو اور اللہ کافی ہے حساب لینے کو
صدق اللہ العظیم
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. Today's topic, my dear viewers, inshallah we shall be speaking about Hazrat Nu'man bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Many people will be thinking, who is he? I won't tell you that right now. But this is such an individual. He is such an individual. It is said that he is one of four people who would recite the entire glorious Quran within one cycle of prayer. Meaning within one rak'at, we pray, for example, two rak'ahs. We pray two cycles, nafal, we may pray four cycles. But within his one cycle, within one rak'at only within one of these, four individuals are known to have recited the entire glorious Quran from beginning to end. One, the great companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala an. Hazrat Tamim ibn Aws ad-Dari radiallahu ta'ala an. Hazrat Sa'id ibn Jubair radiallahu ta'ala an. And the fourth, Hazrat Nu'man bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala an. Such a unique individual. He would recite the entire Quran in one rak'at. Now, to be honest, there is a possible question. Now, yes, this is a question for you. How many of you knew that this was his actual name? That when I said Hazrat Nu'man bin Thabit, did any of you realize who this was? I think majority wouldn't have. It's no problem, because that's not what he's famous by. He's famously known as Abu Hanifa. He's famously known as Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This great individual who many of us call ourselves Hanfis. What does that mean if you call yourself a Hanfi? What does it mean? It means you are a follower in fiqh of Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This person who was a tabi'i, he was a tabi'i, such a great individual. First, let's listen to the Na'al Sharif of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then there's, subhanallah, so much more to be said about this brilliant personality. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Salli ala nabiyyina salli ala Muhammadin salli ala shafi
جس پر میرے آقا کا وہ در
اس پر ماتھے کھس جاتے ہیں سرداروں کے 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 میرے عیسیٰ تیرے صدقے جاؤں 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 طور بے طور ہے بیماروں کے طور بے طور ہے بیماروں کے ذرے چڑھ کر تیری پیزاروں کے تاج سر بندے ہیں سیاروں کے مجرموں چشمے تبسم رکھو مجرموں چشمے تبسم رکھو مجرموں چشمے تبسم رکھو مجرموں چشمے تبسم رکھو پھول بن جاتے ہیں صدق و عدل و کرم و ہمت میں 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 چار سو شہرے ہیں ان چاروں کے چار سو شہرے ہیں چاروں کے چار سو شہرے ہیں ان چاروں کے چار سو شہرے ہیں ان چاروں کے بہرے تسلیم علی چھوکے رکھتے ہیں تلواروں کے سر چھوکے رکھتے ہیں تلواروں کے ذرے چھڑ کر تیری پیزاروں کے تاج سر بنتے ہیں سیاروں کے کیسے آقاؤں کا سرکاروں کے بولے والے میری سرکاروں کے بولے والے میری سرکاروں کے ذرے چھڑ کر تیری پیزاروں کے تاج سر بنتے ہیں سیاروں کے ذرے چھڑ کر تیری پیزاروں کے تاج سر بنتے ہیں سیاروں کے
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم. Dear viewers of Mother Channel, for those that may have just joined us, you are watching Rise and Shine. Now today's topic, today inshallah azzawajal, as we said, we shall be speaking about Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was such a noble person, such a great individual. Firstly, we must understand that there were four great imams. There were more, but four imams of the school of thought. We'll keep it like this. We'll keep it very simple, my dear viewers. These are the ones who remained. Four imams of the Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah. One is known as Imam Azam, the greatest of each and every single one of them. Imam Azam Abu Hanifa Hazrat Nu'man ibn Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This is the individual we shall be speaking about today. Another is Imam Muhammad ibn Idris al-Shafi'i radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Another is Imam Hazrat Malik ibn Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And the fourth is Imam Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Hanbal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. These are the four imams, the four heads of the school of thoughts. Yes, these four imams, my dear viewers. And the Muslims, all of the Muslims, they follow one of these imams. Alhamdulillah, many of us will be Hanfis. Many of us will also be Shafis. It means we follow Imam Shafi'i, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Many of us may be Malikis or even Hanbalis, which would mean we follow either Hazrat Imam Malik bin Anas or Hazrat Imam Ahmed bin Hanbal, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, respectively. But my dear viewers, each and every single one of these is a great imam. Each and every single one was a mujtahid, a great scholar. The one we shall be speaking about today is the first from all of these. The first from each and every single one of these. Hazrat Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was born around about 80 AH, there's a difference of opinion. And his student, the student of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa was Imam Muhammad. His student was Imam Shafi'i. Hazrat Imam Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a contemporary of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, but he was born a little later in 93-94 AH. Hazrat Imam Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Hazrat Imam Ahmed bin Hanbal radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a student of Imam Shafi'i radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So the first from all of these was Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He is such an individual who is mentioned, the scholars state, within the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that even if knowledge itself had gone so far away from the people, it had gone to Thuriyya, to the stars, or even Iman, then from the children of the Persian children, because it is Nu'man bin Thabit radiallahu anhu was a Persian. He was Farisi. That a person from the Persians will attain it. And the scholars state that this refers to Hazrat Nu'man bin Thabit Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu. He is such an individual who had performed 55 approximately pilgrimages, the Hajj pilgrimage. 55 of those during his lifetime. Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu is such an individual that for 40 years he would pray his Fajr Salah with the same ablution he had performed for the previous night's Isha Salah. For 40 years. What would this mean, my dear viewers? This would mean that he would remain awake the entire night worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is such an individual about whom Imam al-Shafi'i radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that we are children, we are nothing, we are students. in comparison to Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This shows the intelligence of Hazrat Nu'man bin Thabit Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But there's much to learn from the life of Hazrat Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. One is for those people who are businessmen, those people who, well, for everyone, because we all, you know, everybody earns some sort of livelihood. It is a lesson for each and every single one of us. What is this lesson? You must understand that Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a very rich person. Yes, he was born, his father himself was a trader. So he was born in a rich family. And he was a master in his own business, you can see. He was brilliant at his own business. But he wasn't any ordinary. Yes, people who are good traders, they know the worth, they're able to make a lot of money. But he was a person of rules, he was a person of principles. Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had many principles. Some of those principles, one is that he would not charge extortionist prices. The prices which he would charge, they would not be extortionist, my dear viewers. They would be reasonable prices. He would never lie. If there was any defect in his valuables, anything he possessed in his possessions, whatever it may be, whatever the defect, he would first inform the buyer. And a brilliant, really a brilliant principle, a very, very important one, is that Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu would never praise his own goods. He would never praise his own goods. Let's take a look at some of these. One, he would never lie. A Muslim is not a person who lies, my dear viewers. Sadly, there is so much lying we have nowadays. Especially when it comes to business. And a great lesson for us is that, remember, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, he was a successful businessman. He was a very rich person, a very successful businessman. So the lesson to be learned from this is that by telling the truth, by being honest, we can still earn a livelihood, a good livelihood. We can be successful. How? By being honest. Many people think, if I'm to be like this, then you know, you can't make no money. This is the world we are in. But no, it's a matter of creed, I would say. A matter of creed, a matter of belief. This is what it is. It's a matter of faith. In that this is a mindset, and this is a typical mindset. We shouldn't think like this. But people do think like this. So I would say to them that you are lying now. You may be lying. You may be earning a haram income. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from a haram income. But something I wish to say to all those people who do, all those people who, you know, these sort of things which they should not be doing, they do. Lying, cheating, deceiving, whatever it may be. I would say to them that at this moment, you are lying, you are cheating, you are deceiving somebody. You are taking money from them. Now, the question is, whatever you are doing, you are still earning money. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still granting you rizq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still granting you sustenance. Whereas you are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Would you ever imagine that if you were to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you were to stop telling lies, if you were to have decent transactions, whatever it may be, do you think then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will stop providing? Do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will stop giving you sustenance? He gives you sustenance. This is what we must understand. Whatever we have, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has granted it to us. Whatever we have. But ask yourselves this, those who cheat people, those who do all these wrongdoings, that if by disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is yet so merciful, that He is giving you an opportunity to repent. He's giving you this chance. Yet He is still giving you sustenance. He is giving you food. He is still granting you well-being. So if you are to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will stop giving to you? No, my dear viewers. It seems difficult to even imagine such. Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu is a prime example. He's a prime example. And subhanAllah, to give you some examples, we do need to go to our next segment. Let's give you one quick example, my dear viewers. Once Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had a customer. And this customer asked for a particular piece of cloth. He asked, "Do you have this cloth?" He says, "Yes, I have this cloth." He says, "Can I see this cloth? Bring it down for me." Imam Azam tells his own son, Hazrat Hamad radiallahu ta'ala anhu, to climb the ladder, or however it may have been, to bring the cloth down. His son, Hazrat Hamad radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he climbs this ladder. He takes a look at this cloth. Now when his eyes set upon the cloth, immediately he says, "Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam." Immediately he sends salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He recites Durood Sharif. Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says to him that, "Oh my son, leave the cloth there and come back down." And then he says to the customer that, "I do apologize, but I cannot sell you this cloth. Please go purchase it from somewhere else." Now this customer, he's shocked. It's an expensive piece of cloth. You have a valuable customer and you are sending me away. Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, "I have some principles, I have some rules." He says, "I do not praise my own goods. I do not praise my own goods." So, for this reason, I cannot sell you this cloth. But the person says, "You've not praised it. Your son's not praised it." He says, "When my son recited the Durood Sharif, he expressed his amazement at the brilliance of this cloth, at the beauty of this cloth, which makes you think, wow, it must be so beautiful." So although indirectly he has praised a god, "For this reason I cannot sell you the cloth." My dear viewers, this is such an important lesson. Those people who may be selling something, you know, you may sell your phone and it'll say, "My phone has this, look at it, it's mint condition." You may want to sell your car, you say it has no problems with it whatsoever. It's perfect, it runs completely normal. This is praising. One thing is lying, sometimes it's not like that. It does have some sort of defect. This is lying, my dear viewers. This is undoubtedly haram, that's a point at the side. But another is just praising his own good. This was the principles he would have. He wouldn't even praise his own goods, my dear viewers. This is a lesson for each and every single one of us, especially those who buy and sell. You don't even have to be a businessman. You can just sometimes we sell our own car or we purchase something, whatever it may be. My dear viewers, whatever it is, honesty, be honest in all your transactions. And have that care for another Muslim. Nowadays we are very quick to harm another Muslim, especially for our own benefit. This is not how it should be. But we should love each other, we should respect each other, we should honor each other. This is how Muslims should be. Let's move to our first segment, which is our daily reminder. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم.
We thank you, Allah. We thank you, Allah. We thank you, Allah.
So now let's head over to today's topic. So our today's topic is the ocean, as I think you already know.
We thank you, Allah. We thank you, Allah. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. We thank you, Allah. We thank you, Allah.
The ocean is the heart of our planet. Water covers up 2/3 of our planet Earth. And sea plants produce 70% of oxygen we breathe. Can you imagine it? Like all the trees that are on the Earth's surface just produce only 30%. And sea wildlife is the only reason we are getting our oxygen. And the deep parts of the ocean are home to the biggest animals in the world, such as whales, octopus, sharks, and you can name it forever. Without the ocean, there would be no beach trips, no sailing trips, and no fishing trips. And I know we all love them. Personally, if you don't even love them, I do love them. And can you imagine a life without all the fish that we eat? If oceans weren't there, there won't be jobs for any fishermen. Like, fishermen wouldn't have any jobs, and we wouldn't be getting any fish. If you ask me, I personally love sitting on the beach, seeing the sun set into the west. It looks like as the sun is drowning inside the water. And it is so lovely to hear those birds flickering around you, seeing those pelicans dive inside the water and catching their prey. I am, and everyone should be, thankful to Allah Azza wa Jal for giving us such a wonderful nature. So, in my episode, we talked about the Amazon, the world's biggest forest, and the fact that the ocean provides more oxygen than the Amazon. Just think about it. The world's largest forest is smaller than the ocean wildlife. It doesn't matter how far you live from the ocean. Every 10 breaths, 7 of them come from the ocean. So kids, all the plants and all the forests on our Earth only give us 30% of the oxygen we breathe, and 70% of it comes from the oceans. Just imagine, such a big number is 70%. Just think about all the forests, all the trees, all the plants that are near you. Only give out 30%. In many ways, the sea regulates our climate. It absorbs all the heat and transports warm water and cold water from the poles to the tropics. The ocean is a very important food source for us. It is the number one source of protein for billions of people. A heavy amount of fish is consumed all around the world. So kids, we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gave us this wonderful gift. There are many animals and fish that live and are fully dependent to the ocean. It is not only home to us ocean lovers, but is home to the greatest abundance of life on our planet. If you sail across the ocean, you might see a dolphin, a whale, or a turtle popping up to take breath.
We thank you, Allah.
Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. MashaAllah, that was a reminder for us Madhya viewers, and also a brilliant, especially for the young children who may be watching, a brilliant lesson. It's a lesson for each and every single one of us that we must thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A reminder, we should always thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us. Now, we've mentioned the brother, his name is Abdullah, mashallah. He has mentioned the ocean being a blessing. But my dear viewers, if you are to look within the ocean, the blessings within the ocean, Allah hope, so much of it is undiscovered. Has not been discovered as of yet, my dear viewers. But imagine the secrets within there, within the ocean itself, subhanAllah. And this shows, Allahu Akbar, and this is what it does, it really shows us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the strength, the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so beautiful. Imagine the creator, my dear viewers, subhanAllah. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, alhamdulillah, we have a health segment which has been recorded by a doctor, inshallah, azzawajal. Let's hear what lesson he has for us today. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome to the segment Health and Wealth. Today I would like to talk about and give you some tips. So I'm sure most of you are aware, but it's worth revising them. And those are in relation to how to prevent back pain. And one of the very important things which there are usually in our courses, and especially people who work in hands-on industry, so if you work on conveyor belts, for example, or where they have to lift heavy loads, they're all taught this. But again, in our daily lives, we need to be very aware of these, and these little measures taken as a precaution can go a long way in helping us lead a healthy life and hopefully avoid any back problems. So I wanted to discuss about manual handling. So this is a broad term which we use for anything which needs to be handled whilst ensuring that our back and our skeleton, our muscles, they don't come under undue stress. So the first thing which I would like to emphasize is that if we have to lift something, so lifting is quite an important action which we would take. So we might lift our young children, we might lift the shopping or groceries, or we may have to do it as part of work, lifting heavy boxes, for example. Whatever we do, it is, if it is a heavy load, for example, or even if it's a child, what we need to ensure is that our child is sitting right in front of us, or the box is on the ground in front of us. So the worst thing which we can do, and we all seem to do it quite often, is that we will usually bend forwards, stoop down, and then try and lift that box. So that can have a seriously detrimental effect on our back. And this is not uncommon for us to see where people would present this acute bout of pain where they had a disc prolapse. And quite commonly, that's the reason for it. So we try to change the tire for our car, for example, or we try to lift something heavy. So the when we are lifting something heavy, very important, what we need to do is that we need to have that load right next to our feet. And the ideal position is that we have our feet together, our arms by the side, and we should not stoop forward. Instead, what we should do is to actually squat. So squat is the best way to lift any heavy load, ensuring that we have good health of our back and the muscles. So heavy load, again, heavy load, whatever it might be, right in front of our tips of our toes, with our arms by the side, and squatting down. So as we are sitting basically on our 2 feet, that's how, so this is the position we want to go in. So we squat down, and at all times we need to make sure that our back remains straight. So we squat with our back remaining straight. So there is a tendency to just try and crouch down, but no, we need to keep our back straight. Squat down, And then we hold that load and we should keep it right next to our body. So squat. So actually, we are not using our back to lift that weight. We are using our thighs, which are much stronger. And the weight is equally distributed in our pelvis and the two hips. And instead of the back, and if we lift that and come straight up like that, we're keeping the load very close to our body. And then we move, so we turn around and start walking wherever we need to take that. Seems like very simple, but unless we practice, there is a serious risk that we are not careful and then can cause injury to our back. So, load right in front of us, squat down, keeping it close, and using our thigh muscles to stand up, and then walk whichever direction we need to go. So that's the one important skill for the handling of heavy goods or heavy items. The second thing which is quite important is that if, for example, we have someone who, so for example, if it is someone elderly, our parents maybe, somebody who's unwell at home or at in a bed. So again, the common tendency is that if we want to help them move, so for example, somebody who's unwell and said, could you give me a hand and just push me back in the bed? So if we're trying to do that, again, the very common tendency is that what we do suddenly is to stoop forward, hold them, and then try and pull up to the bed, and that is where it can go seriously wrong for ourselves. So again, what we need to do in that scenario is that if that person, if we want to, for example, give them a hand to sit up, so we should always put our hands under their shoulders. If it is both shoulders, for example, so we can do it from behind, under the shoulders, and then keeping our back straight, our arms straight, and then you try and pull them back. So that's one way, if possible. The other thing is that if it is from two people, ideally it should be two or even more people, depending on how unwell somebody is or how heavy the person is or which movement we need to do, is that we get two people, one from left, one from right, and again push our hands under their shoulders and then try and pull them back. So that would be the best way to do that. If we want to help them to sit up, so again we do the same thing. So we use our hands and help them sit up. Once they're sitting up, then again, try to avoid this urge to get them, for example, moving them right or left in the bed. The best thing is to either use the bed sheet, for example, and help them, which will help them slide one way or other, or if they need to, for example, stand up, you want to give them a hand to go to the toilet, for example, then what you would do is that once they're sitting up, you would then swing their legs around so that the movement is all happening at the pelvis. You swing their legs around and then you let the legs swing by the bedside with the legs hanging. Make sure that they are safe, they're not dizzy. Give them a minute or so until they are happy that they are okay. And then again, we can do the same movement under the arms and then slowly try and stand them up. Each time we need to make sure that we are as close to them as possible and we're keeping our back straight. So that would be the best way. And then if you want to help them take them somewhere, then we can walk with them. And then there are other things as well. So for example, there are trolley stands, there are three-leg stands, there are rotor stands, there are various things with equipment. So if it is someone who is unwell, then we certainly need to ensure that we have enough support, we have provided them enough support. And if there is equipment we can use, then certainly worth considering that. So this would be if you want to help someone off the bed or on the bed, or if you want to lift a heavy load, these are the tips for how to handle that. Very important, but can go a long way in ensuring that our back does not suffer any major injury or trauma. I wish you all the best of health. Keep watching Madani Channel.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, mashallah, you've been hearing a little about back pain. It is very, very important to keep your posture crazy. My posture was like this also, my dear viewers, but generally we should try to keep a good posture. Be careful as to how we sit, especially when we are lifting things. It may be a little difficult. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, sadly, that's all for now, but inshallah azza wa jalla, tomorrow we shall be returning the same time. We have learned not much today from the life of Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa in comparison to what we could have learned. But even if we learn one thing, I think this should be enough, and this should suffice for us. If we are to act upon one thing, my dear viewers, for the youngsters, for everybody, you know, this is something where it would rarely be the case when people would lie. Sadly, now it's very rare for people to tell the truth. So one thing to take away is always be truthful. Another is be honest in your transactions also, in your welfare, in your income. It should be halal income. Take these lessons away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to act upon these. And my dear viewers of Madani Channel, please take the time out to learn about such people. Such people like Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, we've heard the name so much. How much do people even know about them? How much do you know about them? Did you even know what their real name was? The Abu Hanifa was just their title, that's not really their name. There's so much for us to learn. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, inshallah azza wa jalla, tomorrow we shall, inshallah azza wa jalla, we shall be returning with more rise and shine. I do pray that all those people who have been affected with the virus, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them shifa, and those who have passed away, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant their family patience, may Allah ta'ala grant them sabr and a good akhirah, inshallah azza wa jalla. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine. By the grace of Allah.